Good morning, everybody. It's August 8th, 2021. In the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, we're going to have some truth and a little bit of the Word of God, and we're going to have some joy. The rest of the world's going crazy, and we're going to go sane. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for fellowship this morning. Thank you for your wonderful Word, how you love us. And Father, give us all health, give us strength, give us a long life, give us prosperity, give us freedom, give us liberty, give us what we need in this life. And Father, protect us from the evil one and protect us from all the propaganda and all the evil stuff that's going on. And we just rebuke the evil in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, get thee behind us and take all your evil schemes with you. You have no right to touch us because we're sons of God. Thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. And Jesus Christ said unto Simon, which is also Peter, Simon, Simon. If you're into figures of speech, when you say somebody's name twice, that's a figure of speech. But I'm not... You can look it up in Bullinger sometime if you want to, but it's basically he's trying to emphasize this. You know, it's wants to really get his attention. He's not just saying Simon. He's saying Simon. Simon. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. So that's what the devil he wants to do to us. He wants to basically separate us and sift us and harvest us and just, you know, and throw us to the wind. Verse 32, in contrast, it says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted and strengthen thy brethren. And so how did Jesus Christ keep the devil from just sifting Peter and making him useless and separating him to where he was couldn't do anything? He prayed for him. See, we need to pray. This day and time, prayer is a big thing. And in manifestations it came up. We need to speak. We speak it in our life. We also speak it in prayer. We need to pray every day and rebuke the devil. Because, well, I was going to go there at the last, but I'll go there now. John 4:4. 1 John.
First John 4:4.
Yeah, in the back of your Bible, almost the book of Revelation. There's an old gospel song called John the Revelator, because he wrote the book of Revelation. But if you like old gospel songs, and if you don't, then you can just ignore that. But anyway, John 4:4. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because weaker is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
No.
No. Greater. See, we got the same power Jesus Christ had when he walked the face of the earth. We can go toe to toe with the devil and back him down. Because, hey, remember in Job? Go back to the Old Testament, the book of Job. And in chapter 1, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan...
Wait, you're going too fast. So Job?
Yeah. Well, basically in Job chapter 1, Satan, he's just going to and fro on the face of the earth. Because see, our God, one of the reasons he's greater, is he can be everywhere. God can be everywhere. Like if I'm downtown Denver working... God can be right there with me. And my wife's here. She works in Littleton. At the same time, God can be with her. And, you know, Mary, you work in Arvada, right?
Littleton,
whatever.
No, Lakewood.
Lakewood. So God can be there with you in Lakewood. And
Lakewood,
Sherry's
yeah.
up in Thornton. She, you know, I think it's Thornton, right?
Yep.
So God can be there with you. And he can be everywhere with each of us all the time, 24/7. 60 seconds of every minute, he's with us. 60 minutes of every hour. He's with us. He never, ever leaves us. But Satan, it says here in Job chapter 1, he was just wandering up and down the face of the earth. He just wanders around looking for crap he can do. He's looking for evil he can commit. And
looking for trouble.
Or what's that old song? Looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was looking for trouble in all the wrong places. And so, verse 7, and the Lord said unto him, Satan, where have you been? And Satan said, from going to and fro on the earth, walking up and down it. And then he's saying, I want to mess with your servant Job. And so God says, well, you can steal his stuff, but you can't kill Job. There's limits. And, you know, and you, there's a lot of theologians and so forth that get, you know, why did Job have to go through some of this stuff? And, well, you know, it's like, why does bad things happen to good people? Well, bad things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen. That's what the devil does. He does bad things. But he can only do it for a season. And you read the book of Job, and for a season, Job went through some bad stuff. But Job stood. Job prayed for his friends when he realized his friends were more messed up than he was. And he prayed, and he got twice as much in the end. Now, we've had some things stolen from us. We had an election that was stolen. We've had, you know, I'm beginning to wonder if we've ever had a fair election in the United States in the last 100 years. And I wonder if we've ever had a war we got into that wasn't started with a false flag. I just wonder what, if anything the news ever tells us is true. I mean, they even get the weather wrong. So, the devil's always out there. But we, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And he may get away with stuff in the short term, but in the long term, we're going to win. Let's go to the book of James. In the back, all the way in the New Testament. You got Hebrews, and then you got James. In James chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 16. Now, James is an interesting guy. James was the brother of Jesus. And Jesus Christ's brothers, when Jesus was alive before the day of Pentecost, they did not stand with him. In fact, they mocked him. You see, there's some verses in the Gospels where they said, oh, Jesus, you're going to go up to Jerusalem again and do some more miracles? You know, they were just mocking him because they grew up with him. It was their brother. You know, they saw when he fell and skimmed his knee when he was 12 years old. And they saw when he had this happened or that happened. They knew he was flesh and blood, and they just didn't really believe he was the Messiah. But then later, after the day of Pentecost, James got born again. And parts of the book of James are marvelous truths. But also parts of the book of James, he was one of those people that was zealous for the law. And that's why he says in the first part of verse 16, confess your faults one to another. Well, we don't need to confess our faults to each other. I mean, my faults are pretty obvious. I don't have to confess them. I'm an imperfect human being. You can probably figure that out just by spending 5 minutes with me. But it does say, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Now, that part I like. And what also says here, even better, the verse gets better, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he talks about Elijah in the Old Testament, was a man subject unto passions like we are, and he prayed earnestly, and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months, and then he prayed, and the rain came back. I mean, that's pretty amazing believing. But we can command things to happen in prayer. And Elijah, he wasn't even born again. He didn't have the fullness of the Spirit like we have. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. back in the Old Testament. I almost pulled a verse from Amos. So I was putting my teaching together and I was looking up and I go, where the heck's Amos? It's one of those little books of the Bible. It's got like 7 or 9 chapters and it's after Daniel and when they got all the short books of the Bible. So we're going to Isaiah 55. I love this section. This is a section of scripture that I first learned in the back about 1974, and I've just loved this section ever since. Chapter 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, I just love King James, thither. Yeah, after fellowship, we're going to go up thither into the kitchen and have some burgers. And watereth the earth and maketh bring forth bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the... And you know, this year, a few years ago, we planted some fruit trees. Our apple trees are not quite mature enough to give us apples yet. But our peach tree had about a dozen, or maybe about 20.
This year, you mean?
Yeah, this year we had about...
Over 2 dozen.
We had a couple dozen really nice peaches.
And we thought the tree was dead.
And we thought the tree was killed by a frost, and it came back, and it's doing really well. Unfortunately, we got this nasty little raccoon that likes to climb up the tree and steal our peaches. So we had to go through and harvest all the good ones, and we brought them in, and the raccoon was kind of angry that there's... But he can go to the next-door neighbor's yard. He's got an apple tree. It's got literally about 1,000 apples on it. I mean, there are all these little green apples, but anyway. So... It's amazing. God set up this system. It's, you know, the earth is imperfect, but he set up this whole system where snow and rain waters the earth, and it brings forth bud, and it produces food that we can eat, and we can have nutrition, and we can prosper. So, verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. When we speak the word of God, it's prophets. It's always profitable. Even if you go out in your backyard and you're just talking to the maple tree or the oak tree, there's still profit teaching the word of God. And if you look at Jesus Christ's ministry, and everybody thinks, oh, he was teaching multitudes. Most of his ministry was teaching 1 or 2 or 3 people, maybe a dozen. Maybe a small meeting of maybe 20 or something. Very, very rarely was he teaching multitudes. Well, part of the problem is they didn't have technology. They didn't have a public address system with microphones and big speakers. So he'd have to talk loudly he'd have to really speak up to make people hear him. It'll prosper. It will accomplish what God pleases, and it will prosper into the thing whereas God sends it. Verse 12, ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. One of the interesting things we have here in Colorado, we have these trees called aspen trees, and they thrive in the mountains. And when the wind blows, their little leaves will hit each other, and it sounds like they're clapping, you know? And nature, you know, is the planet is right now, there's things wrong with the planet because Satan runs it. But even nature itself can recognize that we're sons of God, and it rejoices at our presence. The very presence of us being on this planet is healing. We rebuke the devil. We stop natural disasters. We stop political disasters. We stop wars. We stop famines. We stop plagues. We even stop fake pandemics like COVID. So let's go to Galatians. No, let's go to Revelation. I'm going to skip that one in Galatians. Well, in Galatians, it's listing all the things, the works of the flesh. And one of the works of the flesh it lists, it calls witchcraft. It's how it's translated in King James. But if you look at that word in the Greek it's called pharmakia. And in light of what's going on with this terrible vaccination where tens of thousands of people are dying and hundreds of thousands are being damaged by this non-FDA approved shot, a lot of people call it the rot shot. It's, let's look here in Revelation chapter 18, verse 23. And we're really interested in, am I got the right verse here? Oh yeah, that we were interested in the last part of the verse. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And here, this word sorceries, again, is the word pharmakia. And we, like I was, we were talking about before fellowship, we've seen unprecedented levels of propaganda and misinformation and people trying to get you to take this shot, and I don't trust it. And I don't trust it any farther than I can spit into a hurricane wind. And I think it's in the, when all the accounting of this is done, I think it's going to cause a lot more harm than good. So if you can avoid it, I would say avoid it. So let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Man, I got a lot of pages here. Do you guys' Bibles got as many pages as mine? This is a lot of stuff.
Mine didn't have any.
Oh, you got it digitally. This is a lot of pages, man. It must have taken God a long time to write all this stuff. So, Acts chapter 8. This is what happened here is Stephen, he got stoned. He went out, he found out marijuana was legal, and he went, no.
But just in Colorado.
Yeah, actually it's getting legal a lot of places. And, you know, I've got like virtually no interest in alcohol or marijuana or any of that stuff. My interest is in just being healthy. But anyway, Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death. Chapter 8, verse 1. And in the previous chapter, Stephen, he got stoned because he was speaking the truth. The legalistic Jews did not like hearing about Jesus Christ. So there was a persecution. And so what happened is that people were scattered. And those who were at Jerusalem, they were all scattered abroad throughout regions of Judea, Samaria, except for the apostles. They stayed there. And Philip went down, verse 5. Well, let's go to verse 4. Therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere hiding because they were afraid. No, they went everywhere preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And with one accord, the people gave heed of the words that Philip spake, seeing the miracles which he, Philip, did. And verse 7, he kicked out a bunch of unclean spirits, and a lot of people were healed, and those who were lame were healed. And verse 8, there was great joy in that city. And see, the devil's pulled stuff, but we don't have, the devil has no right to steal our joy. And he can maybe turn over the apple cart and make a mess of things in the short term, and he can maybe make things a little more inconvenient. Like the raccoons, what, they got about 5 or 6 of our, maybe 8 of our peaches. Oh, wow. But we got most of them. You know, I found a few laying around, but we got most of them. And, you know, the devil, he stole a little bit, but we got the majority of it. And I ate one yesterday and it was very good. And so let's go to 2 Kings. chapter 6. So 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'm interested in verse 16. This actually came up in Manifestations, where God was saying there's more with us than are with them. And here's a situation where they were going to war, and quite often they'd go to war and you'd see records where there was the numbers of grains of sand on the beach, or the like grasshoppers in a field. In other words, there was tens and hundreds of thousands beyond what you could count. And so the one guy was talking to the prophet, and he was kind of scared, because by the five senses he saw how many of the enemy there was, and he was afraid. And he answered and said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they would be with them." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open the eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. So remember when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he said, right now I can pray and he'll send 12 legions of angels. And how many is in a legion?
72,000.
So it's 12 times 72,000.
72,000.
Oh, 72,000 total. Okay. I'd be happy with just a dozen angels protecting me. But, we're on God's side. And all these evil people that worship Satan and drink children's blood and all these other evil, they're all going to end up in the lake of fire. That's where they're going. All the devil spirits, they're all going in the lake of fire. And all of us, we got paradise. So all this stuff is just in the short term. And then it was very shortly after this record here, there's the famous record that I just love over in chapter 7 of 2 Kings. Verse 3, there was the three lepers. There was the city was being besieged. And the three lepers are sitting up outside by the gate. And he said, if we sit here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, they're all dying from starvation there. We're going to die as well. Tell you what, why sit we here till we die? Let's go check out what's going on in the camp of the Syrians. The worst thing that can happen is they kill us. We're going to die anyway. And because these three guys who were the outcast, the lowest thing in society in the Old Testament was the leper. That was the lowest form of life. They were almost subhuman. Because these three lepers, they went out and took an action. Then the Syrians, they thought they heard an army coming. What they heard was the chariots of fire. And it came and they all ran. And it was a great bloodless victory. Not one drop of blood got shed by the Israelites. They didn't have to do anything. And so a lot of times God can deliver us that way. I mean, we've seen unprecedented evil and propaganda and crap and theft and lies and everything going on in this country, and God's got something up his sleeve. I don't know what it is, and we might see some interesting things happen this week, but I really think God's on the throne, and God's going to give us a great victory. And so let's go back to Isaiah. That's where I want to go to. I thought it was here in Kings. Isaiah chapter 54. We were just there reading 55. So we're going to go the same place, but instead of 55, we're going to go to chapter 54. And 54 verse 17. And let's see. Yeah, I'll just read this one. "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. God will take care of us. And these are very crazy times. There's a lot of unbelievable stuff that I thought I would never see. It is happening. But we're on God's side. So we get to just sit back and see the, behold the salvation of the Lord. You know, the devil, he wants to sift every single one of us. He wants to racken and ruin our lives. He wants to do what he did to Job. He wants even more. He wants us dead. But we walk with God, and there's limits. We pray, and we back him down. And basically, it's like, you ever heard the story of the little fish swimming around in the lake? And all of a sudden, he runs into something. He goes, damn. Oh. Sorry, bad joke. But see, God has put a dam to stop the floodwaters. God has literally a dam there to stop. The devil, he wants to release the floodwaters. He wants to wash away our house. He wants to wash away everything we own, everything we ever had, take our life, and he just wants to wash it all away. But God put a dam there. And it's holding back the floodwaters, and maybe a little bit trickles out, and the devil, he pulls a few things, but he's gonna fail. And Father, I command in the name of Jesus Christ that the devil's schemes shall fail. And I claim your promises in your word, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Also, I claim the promise that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And also, like you gave Job twice as much, anything that's been stolen from us, we claim that we want twice as much because your word promises it. And Satan, get thee behind us. Satan, leave every single one of these people alone. You have no right to touch them because the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us all. We all stand righteous before God. You have no right to touch us, no right to come near us. So I, Satan, get thee behind us in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for raising people up that will stand on your word and will speak your word. And that as we do this, there'll be great joy in whatever city we're in. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ.